This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi with segment number two of courtroom coverage here on day number 14, the 13th of February, 2023. Let's head there now.
Ma'am, please your name again for the record. Say your last name.
Sarah Zapata, Zapata.
Hey, Zapata, I think we have a, I guess, what would you call that? A container of, is that your notes up there?
Yes, my case file and other relevant documents.
Okay, to aid you in your testimony if necessary?
Yes.
Could you tell the jurors where you work?
I work for the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, commonly known as SLED.
And how long have you worked for SLED?
For about 7.5 years.
What is your job title there?
I am a forensic scientist in the DNA casework department.
What are some of your duties as a forensic scientist in DNA?
As a DNA analyst, I will look at the requests for different items of evidence. I can perform serology testing if necessary or refer to the serologist results. I will take the items of evidence as well as any known standards through our standard laboratory procedures to develop a DNA profile. The steps of that analysis are extraction, which is where we are trying to isolate any DNA present on that evidence item from the evidence item itself.
Agent, if you could pull the microphone, speak up a little bit.
Sorry. As well as from any other cellular material present. The second step is quantitation, where we're trying to approximate how much DNA is present on that sample so that we can target the appropriate amount of DNA for the next step, which is amplification. Amplification works kind of like a chemical copy machine. We're targeting specific areas of the DNA that have been shown through scientific studies to vary from person to person. And we're trying to make copies of that so that it can be detected by our final instrument, which is what actually separates the DNA into a profile. And then I will interpret that profile and calculate any statistics and prepare a report. I can also perform technical and administrative reviews of other analysts' work, as well as testify in court when necessary.
Okay. And can you tell us a little about your educational background and training that qualify you for this position?
I have a Bachelor of Science in Forensic Science from the Pennsylvania State University. Upon employment at SLED, I underwent a training program for approximately a year and a half under a qualified DNA analyst, and that training included an observation period as well as a practical period of the different steps in our DNA analysis process as well as the serology procedures. Once I had received all of my training, I went through a testing period where I had to demonstrate my competency in using all those different instruments and procedures and interpretation. I had to successfully complete several written exams, an oral exam, complete several mock cases and a mock court, and then was competency tested with another case before finally being able to do a mock case, before finally being able to do analysis on real casework.
You will need to speak into the mic and increase your volume in order for us to hear you better.
Okay.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Agent Zapata, how many cases have you, do you think you've participated in?
Approximately 500.
And have you testified in trial before?
Yes, I have.
How many times?
19.
And in those trials, were you qualified as an expert witness?
Yes, I was.
In what were you qualified as an expert witness in?
In DNA analysis.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would move to qualify Agent Zapata as an expert in DNA analysis.
Okay. She's qualified.
All right. You had mentioned in some of the duties of your job, kind of what you do. I guess if we could kind of scale it back a little bit more basic, but briefly, just what is DNA?
DNA is a chemical that is found throughout your body with the exception of red blood cells. You get half of your DNA from your mom and half from your dad, and it's unique to individuals with the exception of identical twins.
And so if we have a case where there are family members involved, what does that mean as far as DNA analysis?
Based upon the evidence DNA profile, sometimes it might not be possible to make comparisons to some family members because there may not be enough DNA present there to distinguish between the family members. Because the family members will share DNA, that will affect what the DNA profile looks like.
Can you tell us about some different sources of DNA from a person's body?
Some sources from your body would be your hair, blood, semen, saliva, bones, as well as DNA from your skin cells, which is what we call touch DNA.
And what are some variables that can affect touch DNA?
So some people just naturally shed more skin cells throughout the day than other people, and so you would expect to recover more DNA from an object that a person who sheds a lot of DNA has handled than a person who sheds less. There are also factors such as the surface that is being touched. If the surface is rough, then you would leave more skin cells behind. If you are holding the item for a longer period of time or with a lot of pressure, then you would expect to leave more skin cells behind. Environmental factors such as rain, moisture, UV, light, that can all lessen the amount of DNA that is recovered. And also personal hygiene habits can affect how much DNA you leave behind. So if you've just washed your hands, there may not be as much skin cells left behind.
So do you leave touch DNA behind kind of like you would leave a fingerprint behind? Is that a fair comparison?
Kind of. If you touch it, you touch an object, you may leave some behind.
All right. Now you mentioned different sources such as body fluids. Are you able to confirm like 100% which body fluid a DNA profile comes from?
So the test that we perform to try to identify a body fluid is different from the DNA testing that is being performed. Especially in cases where the evidence profile is a mixture, there's no way for us to tell, did all of this DNA come from blood? Did it come from saliva and blood mixed together? There's no way for us to identify 100% the source of the DNA profile. We can indicate that a body fluid may be present, but we cannot say the blood on this item is from this individual.
So if I had a drop of blood on my shirt up here, could you ever say this was my blood?
I could test it for the indication of a body fluid. I could see if your DNA profile is recovered from that stain, if the evidentiary DNA profile, if you are included as a contributor to that profile, but I can never 100% say that is your blood.
So you could say my DNA is here, but not my blood.
I could say that you're included as a contributor to the DNA profile.
Okay. All right, and I think you kind of already explained your process of DNA analysis when you explained your duties. Can you tell us about some of the, you know, standard lab procedures and protocol?
How specifically do you mean?
I mean, I guess just basically how you analyze a DNA sample.
So I will take the DNA sample. If it has been previously cut by a serologist or an evidence processor, I will add the reagents to the tube and proceed with my analysis that way. If it has not previously been cut, then I can prepare the sample for DNA and then take it through those steps that I explained earlier, so extraction, quantitation, amplification, and separation into a profile. And then I will interpret the DNA profile that was developed. So I will determine if there is enough DNA present there for the profile to be used for comparison. I will determine the number of contributors to that profile. So A profile can be single source, which is DNA from just one individual, or a mixture, DNA from multiple individuals are present in the profile. I'll determine if it's a mixture, how many people are in that mixture, or how many I'm interpreting that mixture as. And then I can calculate statistics to compare.
So first of all, let me stop you for a minute.
Sorry.
But these determinations, how are you making the determinations?
So I'm looking at the DNA profile and using our protocol, our procedures, my training and experience as a DNA analyst to determine the number of contributors to the profile.
And how are you looking at it? Are you visually looking at it, or is a computer program looking at it, or what's going on there?
So I visually examine the profile myself as the analyst. I determine the number of contributors to the profile. And then we also use a software program called StarMix to help in our interpretation. And what StarMix does is look at the evidence profile and attempt to break it down into the potential contributors to that profile. So if you think about the evidence profile as like grandma's chocolate chip cookies, you know exactly what that cookie is supposed to taste like. You know what the final product is supposed to be, and you're trying to recreate that recipe and get it as close to grandma's cookie as what you know it's supposed to be. So you're testing different ingredients at different proportions to see what can make up that cookie. And that is kind of what StarMix does when it's looking at the profile. And then I will evaluate the StarMix output, make sure that what StarMix is telling me makes sense based upon what the profile looks like. And then if everything worked properly, I can use StarMix also to calculate our statistics.
Okay, and how do you calculate that statistic?
So the statistic that StarMix calculates is called a likelihood ratio. It's a comparison of two possible scenarios to see which is a better explanation of the DNA profile that was developed. It works kind of like a seesaw. So if you have one scenario on one side and another scenario on the other side, and StarMix is going to put more weight on the scenario that is a better explanation of the DNA profile. You do these kinds of comparisons subconsciously in your mind all day long. If the DNA profile, for example, is the fact that someone ran a marathon, that's your result. The two scenarios that could explain that result are, one, the person trained every day for months leading up to the marathon. They ran many, many miles. The second scenario is that they sat on the couch and watched TV and never ran at all. Which one is a more likely explanation of the fact that they finished the marathon? It would be the first one, that they trained really hard. And so that is the kind of comparison that StarMix is making.
And where do these scenarios come from, I guess?
So based upon what the DNA profile looks like, we will set up the two opposing scenarios to make the comparison. And the first scenario is always going to include the person whose standard is being compared to that profile, so the person whose statistic you are calculating. And the second scenario is always going to include an unidentified, unrelated individual, because you need something that opposes that comparison. So for a single source profile, your two scenarios will be the person being compared is contributing to the mixture versus an unidentified, unrelated individual is contributing to the mixture. To the profile for single source. If it is a mixture, then you need to account for the other potential individuals present in that profile. So for a two-person mixture, for example, the first scenario will be the person being compared and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture versus two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And so we'll make that same comparison for each person based upon what the DNA profile looks like.
Okay. And so this unidentified, unrelated individual, where does that really come from?
That's just the way that the statistic is calculated. It's not saying that it's not possible for related individuals to be in the mixture, but because we are focusing only on the comparison to that one person, we need something to contrast that to, and we account for that by using that unidentified, unrelated individual wording.
So is that just kind of built into this formula in the StarMix program?
Correct.
All right. So what are some results that you can obtain from your comparisons you make?
So a result in support of the first scenario, which is that the person being compared to the profile is contributing to the profile, the seesaw will tilt in that direction, and we call that an inclusion. If it is tilting far enough in the other direction, we call that an exclusion. It's saying that the person being compared is not a contributor to the profile under those two scenarios that are being compared. It's possible for the seesaw to just tilt a little bit in either direction if the DNA in the profile is very low level or very partial. There's just not that much information there to make the comparison, and so it's not tilting in one way or the other very strongly. It is also possible, if it's very partial, very low level information, for the seesaw to just not move at all. It's saying that neither explanation is a better explanation for the DNA profile, and we'll call that uninformative.
Okay. And do you set up propositions the same way for each comparison to an item?
Yes. So first we will say if the item is suitable for comparison, then we will say the number of contributors that we're interpreting that profile as, and then we will set up those two scenarios each time. In the cases of items that are being taken off of someone's body or swabs from their body, we'll call that an intimate item. And so we want to account for the presence of the individual whose body the item was taken off of in that profile. Because it's being removed from their body, we're expecting that profile to be there. And so we can do that in two ways. We'll look at the DNA profile. If their DNA is clearly present in the profile, we will assume them as a contributor. And what that does is put that person on both sides of the seesaw. And so we're only making comparisons now to the DNA that is not that person who we already know is there. It's like someone telling you, I know there are 2 cups of flour in grandma's cookie recipe. So now you're just adjusting the other potential ingredients to see what else is making up that recipe. If their DNA profile is maybe more partial or low level, then we'll run the statistic for that individual first to make sure that it meets our threshold to put them on both sides of the seesaw, and we'll call that a conditioned contributor. It treats it the same way once we've run that standard comparison. And so the propositions will list any individual that has been assumed or conditioned on as a contributor, and then it will have the two opposing scenarios for the other individuals that are being compared to the profile, and then finally the result of that comparison.
So if you had my shirt for testing, you would assume my DNA was on this shirt because you knew I was wearing the shirt.
Right. I would look at your profile first and visually compare that to the item of evidence. If you are clearly contributing to the mixture, then I will assume you. If maybe you are a lower level contributor, but it looks like your DNA profile could be there, then in order to confirm that, I will run your statistic first and then continue on with you on both sides of the seesaw.
All right, and now are there some times where you are unable to make comparisons to specific individuals?
Yes, like we mentioned earlier, if there are individuals that are related and maybe the DNA profile that we're comparing them to is lower level, or there's just not a lot of information there for a lower level contributor, we can't distinguish between them, and so we won't make comparisons in those cases to those individuals.
And I guess before it gets started, just kind of going back to DNA in general, what are alleles?
So alleles are the results of our testing at a specific location. Like I explained earlier, the final step of the laboratory portion of our analysis is the separation of the DNA into a profile, and the separation is what generates those allele results.
Okay. And how many alleles are we dealing with when you're making an analysis with DNA? I guess if there are more or less, what that can tell you. If that makes sense?
I'm not sure I know what you're asking.
All right. Well, sometimes our DNA samples, you mentioned lower or higher levels of DNA there. Mm-hmm. Would that affect the alleles that are there?
Yes, so the alleles are the actual result that we're looking at. It's the DNA profile that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. We are evaluating the profile based upon the heights of those alleles. So the higher the allele, the potential greater contribution of that individual's DNA. The lower level the allele, the less DNA potentially from that individual in that profile.
And if you only have a few alleles to look at, is that very informative in your analysis?
No. The fewer number of alleles that you have to make comparisons, the less informative the statistic is going to be. So that's where we have it in that range where it's not tilting greatly in one direction over the other. It's kind of like trying to identify something based off of an eyewitness description. If it's very vague, like it was a red sedan, there are many red sedans that could fit that description. So that would be an example of having few alleles. But if you have a more specific description, like it was a red sedan with five bumper stickers and a bedazzled license plate, that's very specific. And so you have more information to make your comparison to that vehicle.
Unrelated people share the same alleles?
Yes.
All right, so before we get to the results, some of these statistical results are very large numbers. Is that right?
Yes.
Do you think these two charts here, states exhibit 475 and 474, would help demonstrate to the jury what we're talking about?
Yes.
States exhibit 474 and 475 for demonstrative purposes.
No objection.
To admit it. Yes, I did.
Do you remember how many buccal swabs a man received?
I believe there were 24 buccal swabs total that I used for comparison.
Maybe 25?
I'd have to count. There was one that I received, but I did not perform analysis on. Maybe that's the one that you're counting.
We'll have you take a look at states 463. Do you recognize that buccal swab?
Yes.
And who is that a buccal swab from?
It's labeled as buccal swabs from Nolan Tootin. There's our laboratory case number and item number on the packaging.
And you performed analysis on this buccal swab?
Yes.
State would move 463 into evidence.
No objection.
To admit it.
Now, you compared standards from these buccal swabs to swabs from items of evidence, or how? What do we do to analyze all this stuff?
So first we do our interpretation of the evidence. We look at the evidence like I described earlier, make sure that it's suitable for comparison, determine the number of contributors to the item, and then if it's an intimate item, we'll make that visual comparison to the individual whose body that item came from first. Then we will use StarMix to calculate the statistics for other individuals for comparison, and then it'll be a result in support of one proposition over the other.
And the other individuals for comparison would be any number of the individuals whose buccal swabs were submitted in this case?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to have you take a look at State's Exhibit 459. Is 459 an item that you analyzed?
459 are our laboratory items 7.1 and 10.1.
Okay. And what, can you tell us what that actually is?
7.1 was the MVAC collection from cartridge cases 2 through 7. And 10.1 were the swabs from the exterior of items 9 and 10, which were shotgun shells.
And you performed analysis on both of those items?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us the results of your analysis on the MVAC collection from the 300 blackout cases, your item 7.1? And I guess instead of just blanketly asking for the results, I'll ask, based on the comparisons you made when analyzing that item, were any individuals included?
Yes. For item 7.1, the DNA profile was interpreted as single source. And for the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the two scenarios were Margaret Murdaugh contributed the DNA profile versus an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the DNA profile. And the result of that comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 510 billion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh contributed the profile than if an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
And what does that mean?
It means that the likelihood ratio is in support of that first scenario, of Margaret Murdaugh contributing the profile versus an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
Okay, let's move on to the next item in that in State's Exhibit 459, the swabs from the exterior of items 9 and 10, which were these shotgun shells from the fever.
Okay.
Based on the comparisons you made, were any individuals included?
This item was also interpreted as single source, and so the scenarios were set up the same way. The person being compared contributed the profile versus an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
And that means there's one person contributing.
Correct. For Paul Murdaugh, the result of the comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 15 octillion times more likely if Paul Murdaugh contributed the profile than if an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
And what does that mean?
Just like earlier, it's in support of that first proposition set. The DNA profile is approximately 15 octillion times more likely if Paul Murdaugh contributed the profile than if an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
Let's move on to Exhibit 18. Which are swabs from the feed room door. Did you analyze those items? Take
Yes, I did. Item 17, you can see our laboratory number and then my initials on the seal and the date.
And those are swabs from the feed room door.
It's labeled as swabs from exterior doorknob of storage room door.
All right. And based on the comparisons you made, were any individuals included?
For item 17, the comparison with Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile was again interpreted as single source, so we're setting up the propositions in that same way. The result is the DNA profile is approximately 15 octillion times more likely if Paul Murdaugh contributed the profile than if an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
15 octillion times more likely. An octillion has 27 zeros.
Yes.
So that's a pretty high statistical number there.
Yes.
Let's move on to Exhibit 256. Which would be your items 15 and 16, swabs of blood from Pam O'Benelli?
Yes, item 15.
Nature of the objection.
Foundation, she described him in the question as swabs of blood that has not been established.
All right, response.
Your Honor, Exhibit 256, item 15 and 16 have been admitted into evidence, even though I can't get my hands on them at the moment. And they were described as two swabs of suspected blood from receiver forward of the loading port from Camo Benelli Super Black Eagle 3 12-gauge shot.
Your Honor, there'd be no objection if the question were rephrased to say suspected blood.
All right, if you restate the question, please.
I believe I misspoke, and this would be State's Exhibit 259.
What is the question?
And what is that item?
259 contains sled items 15 and 16, which were swabs from the Camo Benelli 12-gauge shotgun.
And did you analyze those items?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Based on your comparisons that you made, were any individuals included?
For which item?
Let's start with item 15.
Item 15 was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. So for this comparison, we have the person being compared to the DNA profile and an unidentified, unrelated individual as the first scenario. And then the second scenario is two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the result is the DNA profile is approximately 670 octillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the result is, The DNA profile is approximately 10 quintillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And so now, because we have a mixture where more than one person has been included as a contributor, we run the statistic for those individuals together to make sure that the DNA profile can be explained by a contribution of DNA from all of those individuals together. So the comparisons would now be Margaret Murdaugh and Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed to the mixture versus two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And the result of that comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 48 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed to the profile than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the profile.
Okay, so we have three different, I guess, scenarios there?
Three different comparisons being made.
And is any one of those comparisons more likely than the other?
How do you mean?
Can you pick out one of those comparisons as being more likely than the other comparisons?
For each of those comparisons, the individuals who were being compared were included as contributors to the mixture.
All right, let's talk about item 16, which is also a swab of suspected blood from the Camo Benelli.
For item 16, the partial DNA profile developed was insufficient for interpretation.
All right. Let's move on to exhibit 398. You'll take a look at 398.
.398 contains our sled lab numbers 22.4 and 22.5.
So item 22.4 is a reddish-brown debris swab from the right side of the receiver belonging to item 22?
Correct.
Made or any individuals included on that item 22.4?
22.4, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. For the comparison with Margaret Murdaugh, the result was the DNA profile is approximately 480 octillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
And what does that mean?
The result is in support of that first scenario of Margaret Murdaugh being included as a contributor to the mixture. The likelihood ratio is 480 octillion times more. The DNA profile is approximately 480 octillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
And then the next item, 22.5, is also a swab from that same shotgun from the left side?
Yes.
Okay. Based on the comparisons you made, were any individuals included?
Item 22.5, the DNA profile was also interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. For the comparison with Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 570 octillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
75 octillion times more likely that Margaret Murdaugh contributed to that mixture.
The DNA profile is approximately 570 octillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
And now this unidentified unrelated individual is popping up. And what does that mean again?
It's just the way that we make our calculation. We have to account for an opposing scenario to the person being compared. And then when there is a mixture, we need to account for the other individuals in that mixture when we're making our comparison. And so we use an unidentified unrelated individual.
Did you analyze some swabs from Paul Murdaugh's cell phone? I believe that would be your item 25.1.
Yes.
And what were the results of your analysis there?
A partial DNA profile was developed due to the limited information obtained and the inability to determine the number of contributors. No further interpretation will be offered.
In State's Exhibit 83 is some swabs from a Chevy Suburban. If you could focus on your item 56, the two swabs of suspected blood collected from the steering wheel.
Let me try to find that. Is it 56? Okay. Okay, I have 56.
And you analyzed item 56?
Yes, I did.
Swabs of blood collected from the steering wheel?
They were submitted as two swabs of suspected blood collected from the steering wheel of the Chevy Suburban.
And based on the comparisons you made, were any individuals included?
For item 56, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the result is the DNA profile is approximately 35 times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the result is the DNA profile is approximately 100 quadrillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then just like before, because we had two individuals who were included individually as contributors to the mixture, we have to run the comparison of them together to make sure that the DNA profile can be explained by a contribution of DNA from all of those individuals. So for that comparison, the DNA profile is approximately 240 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. There's also a statement that because that first comparison to Margaret Murdaugh had a likelihood ratio result that is on the lower end of our scale, we want to put more emphasis on that result when comparing her as a contributor to the mixture. So the likelihood ratio for proposition set three, which was that comparison together, was calculated to confirm that the mixture could be explained by the contribution of DNA from all individuals listed under HP, which is that first scenario, due to the disparity in the individual likelihood ratios between the contributors for this item. It is recommended to put more weight on the results of proposition set one, which was that comparison of Margaret Murdaugh individually, rather than the results of proposition set three, which is the comparison of them together, when considering Margaret Murdaugh as a possible contributor to the mixture.
This stuff's kind of confusing already, but I think that just got really confusing. So I guess if you could simplify that a little bit for us.
Yes. So think about like two people singing the same song. If one person is singing really quietly and another person is singing loudly, when they're singing together, it'll sound really loud because that one person is already singing loudly by themselves. But that doesn't mean that the person who was singing quietly is suddenly singing very loudly. So we're trying to account for the difference in the weight of the result. And so it's just more accurate when considering that person who is a lower level or has a lower likelihood ratio to consider their individual likelihood ratio rather than the combined likelihood ratio.
So what, based on all of that, what is the most likely we have there?
It's not really that it's like a more likely scenario over another. It's just the result of that comparison that's being made.
So just take into all that into account.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Let's move on to Exhibit 251. Which was the left and right fingernails from Maggie Myrtle. You take a look at Exhibit 251. Did you analyze those items? I believe item 70 is the left fingernail clippings from Maggie Murdaugh.
Yes, and 71 is the right fingernail clippings from Margaret Murdaugh.
Well, let's talk about the left fingernail clippings first. What were the results of your analysis?
Are you looking for all of the individuals who were compared?
Yes, the results, the entire results. Yes.
Okay. For item 70, a DNA profile suitable for comparison was developed. Several individuals were visually excluded from the profile first. Paul Murdaugh, Anthony Cook, Roger Davis, Rogan Gibson, Connor Cook, Philip Beach, Renee Beach, Robin Beach, John Murdaugh, Richard Alexander Murdaugh Jr., or Buster, Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Randy Murdaugh, Miley Altman, and Morgan Dowdy are excluded as contributors.
Excluded
as contributors. For the proposition set, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. Because these are Margaret Murdaugh's own fingernail clippings, she is assumed as a contributor. So the two scenarios are Margaret Murdaugh, and in this case, the comparison was made to Claude C.B. Rowe using the StarMix software. So that first scenario is Margaret Murdaugh and Claude C.B. Rowe contributed to the mixture. And the second scenario is Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
Okay. Now, why was Claude C.B. Rowe included in this comparison?
So the other individuals I was able to visually exclude, which just means from looking at the DNA profile and comparing it to their standard, I could exclude them as a contributor. If an individual happens to have the alleles that or if an individual cannot be visually excluded, so I cannot say from looking at their DNA profile, comparing it to the evidence that they are excluded, then I will run the statistic to compare them to that profile. And so that's why that comparison was made. The result of the comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 11 times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Margaret Murdaugh and Claude C.B. Rowe contributed to the mixture. So this is a result in support of that second scenario. It's not the first scenario like the others that we've been discussing have been.
So how much DNA were you looking at in this sample?
Are you asking, like, DNA that was not attributable to Margaret?
Well, I guess, was there a small amount of DNA or a large amount of DNA under those left fingernail clippings?
There was not a lot of, there were not many alleles that were not attributable to Margaret in the profile.
So let's talk a little bit, explain about those alleles there. That when you are doing your testing.
Yeah. Like I explained earlier, the alleles are the results of our test, and they will appear on in the profile that we're looking at, and they will be at different proportions based upon roughly how much DNA is present from the different possible contributors. So in this case, because they were Margaret Murdaugh's own fingernail clippings, her DNA is present in the profile at a higher level. And then we are looking at only a few alleles that were not her own alleles to make the comparison to the other individuals.
So was it three alleles?
Yes, okay. That were not Margaret Murdaugh's alleles.
And those three alleles could be C.B. Rowe's alleles?
I could not visually exclude him, which just means when looking at his profile and comparing it to those other alleles, he did have those alleles, but it's a very low level of DNA that's being compared to him. And the result was in support of that second scenario, which was Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
And this courtroom here is full of people. Could anybody in this courtroom have those same three alleles present in that testing?
It's possible.
All right, let's move on. And let's put this other chart we have here on the screen. And the results concerning C.B. Rowe, was that moderate support for exclusion for his results?
So what you're looking at is a scale. It's representative of a verbal scale that we have on our reports, and it's showing the different ranges for the likelihood ratio results that we can obtain. So on one side, you have the likelihood ratios that are in support of that first proposition or that first scenario, and you on the other side, you have the scale for the results that are in support of that second proposition. So here, the range is 2 to 99 for moderate support for that second proposition, and his result is an 11, which falls within that 2 to 99 range.
Okay. And then the other result, with just Margaret Murdaugh?
For Margaret Murdaugh, because it's her own fingernail clippings, we're not calculating a statistic. We're assuming her as the contributor.
And you also analyzed the fingernail clippings from her right hand?
Yes.
And those are up there as well. What were the results of your analysis there?
The DNA profile developed is attributable to Margaret Murdaugh.
And then State's Exhibit 252 is fingernail clippings from the right and left hands of Paul Murdaugh. If you could tell us any results from your analysis of Paul's fingernail clippings.
For both items 72 and 73, the result was the DNA profile developed is attributable to Paul Murdaugh.
Now, you also analyzed Alec Murdaugh's shirt, which is State's Exhibit 418, your item 9. Paul Murdaugh, or excuse me, the defendant Alex Murdaugh's pants as well.
Yes, I received cuttings from both item 19, which was the white shirt from Richard Murdaugh, and then item 20, which was a pair of green shorts from Richard Murdaugh.
And are the cuttings from the shirt and the shorts in those two exhibits up there, States 460 and 461.
This appears to be all of them. I can take them out and check, or if you would like for me to.
I believe that should be all of them. All the cuttings. And there were quite a few cuttings that you analyzed.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, we're going to have to go through all of those, the analysis of all of those cuttings. So, let's start with the shirt in Exhibit 460, item 19.2, a cutting from the exterior front edge of Alec Murdaugh's shirt, the defendant. Comparisons you made, were any individuals included?
For 19.2, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. For the comparison with Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 460 octillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
Item 19.3, the cutting from the exterior back, bottom center of the defendant's shirt.
For 19.3, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. For this item, I was able to assume Richard Alexander Murdaugh as a contributor. So the propositions or the scenarios that we're comparing are Richard Alexander Murdaugh and the person being compared versus Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 360 quadrillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Margaret Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
Item 19.4.
For 19.4, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals, and this was a situation where I had to first calculate the statistic for Richard Alexander Murdaugh to see if there was enough DNA to condition on him as a contributor. So for that comparison, the DNA profile is approximately 120 quadrillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then moving forward with the other comparisons, I can say that Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture, and just like before, we have Richard Alexander Murdaugh and the person being compared contributed to the mixture versus Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 7 octillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Paul Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
And does that complete your analysis of that item?
For 19.4?
Yes.
I think that was the only one where there was inclusionary likelihood ratios. Yes.
Let's move on to 19.5, a cutting from chain B on the shirt. You could tell us about any inclusions.
This item was also interpreted, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. And I was able to assume Richard Alexander Murdaugh as a contributor. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the result is the DNA profile is approximately 3,800 times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Margaret Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
Moving on to item 19.6, a cutting from stain C on the shirt.
Okay.
Tell us about any individuals that were included there.
For item 19.6, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. I was able to assume Richard Alexander Murdaugh as a contributor to the mixture, and so now we are comparing Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the individual being compared to the mixture, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture versus Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 570 octillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
And does that include your, the results of inclusion for that item?
Yes.
Item 19.7, a cutting from stain D.
For item 19.7, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from four individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture, so I was able to assume him. And so the comparison in this case will be Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the person being compared to the mixture, and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture versus Richard Alexander Murdaugh and three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 1.9 quadrillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. I also made a comparison to Nolan Tootin. The DNA profile is approximately 480 septillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Nolan Tootin, and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
And again, why was Nolan Tootin included in this comparison?
When looking at the evidence DNA profile, I was not able to visually exclude Nolan Tootin as a potential contributor to the mixture, and so I ran his likelihood ratio for comparison to that item. And then similarly to the other items, where if an individual is included when you run their likelihood ratio on their own, I also had to do the calculation for all of those individuals together to make sure that the DNA profile can be explained by a contribution of all of those individuals. So for that comparison, the DNA profile is approximately 450 duodecillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, Nolan Tootin, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
Okay. Item 19.8, a cutting from another stain on the shirt, stain E. Just give us any individuals that were included in your results, please.
The DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the result is the DNA profile is approximately 590 million times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
19.9, stain F.
For item 19.9, a DNA profile was developed. Due to the inability to determine the number of contributors, no further interpretation will be offered.
Item 19.10.
For item 19.10, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 430 octillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
Item 19.11, which is a cutting from stain H. Could explain any individuals who were included in your analysis.
So for item 19.11, the only individual who had an inclusionary likelihood ratio, first, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Hippolito Torres, the DNA profile is approximately 10 times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Hippolito Torres contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
So, with Mr. Torres, if we look back at this chart and tell us where he would fall along there.
The likelihood ratio for his comparison under those propositions was 10, which falls under our weak support for that first scenario.
So would that be trending towards exclusion?
It's on, it's in support of that first scenario on this side, the green side of the scale.
The green side?
But it's 10. So that very first arrow indicates weak support for that scenario. The range is 2 to 99. And his likelihood ratio when compared to the DNA profile. The DNA profile is approximately 10 times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Hipólito Torres contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
And I don't want you to repeat that same thing again, but could you kind of, I guess, clarify what that means?
When making my comparison to the evidence DNA profile, I was not able to visually exclude Hipólito Torres as a possible contributor to the mixture, and so I ran the statistic for his comparison. And the result of that comparison is in support of the first scenario. The DNA profile is approximately 10 times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Hipólito Torres contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture. So it's just tilting that seesaw 10 in that direction.
Okay, we have two cuttings left from the shirt. Item 19.12 is a cutting from stain I. Based on the comparisons you made, were any individuals included?
19.12, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 1.3 nonillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Margaret Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
And then item 19.13, a cutting from stain J of the defendant's shirt.
For item 19.13, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 1.5 sextillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. So this is one where I was not able to assume Richard Alexander Murdaugh as a contributor, so I am comparing each person individually. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 24 quintillion times more likely if Paul Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 29 times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And like before, because there are multiple individuals who were included as contributors when compared individually, I have to calculate the statistic for them together. For that comparison, the DNA profile is approximately 260 quindecillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh, Paul Murdaugh, and Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And similarly to that other item where there was an individual with a lower likelihood ratio, there is that statement about the recommendation to put more weight on the results of Proposition Set 3, which was the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh, rather than the results of Proposition Set 4 when considering Richard Alexander Murdaugh as a possible contributor to the mixture.
All right. So in addition to this shirt being analyzed for DNA, Agent Nguyen told the jury a little bit about it being tested for blood. Can you explain what you did to test this shirt for the presence of blood?
I was asked to perform a hematrace test on the cuttings from the shirt, as Ms. Nguyen described. It's our confirmatory test for blood. It works similarly to a pregnancy test or a COVID test. One line in the control area is a negative result, a line in the control area and the test area would be a positive result.
And that is testing with hematrace?
Yes.
And what were the results of the hematrace testing on all of the items that you just discussed to the jury?
For items 19.2 through 19.13, the result was no human blood identified.
And could you explain that to us? We had presumptive testing for blood and then some other testing and then the hematrace, which says there was no blood. So what does that mean?
So presumptive tests are sensitive but not very specific. Like discussed earlier, there are possible false positives for presumptive tests. If we're requested to, we can perform a confirmatory test, which is more specific but is less sensitive.
So, and in your opinion, if there was blood on that shirt, could testing such as with LCV have diluted any blood on the shirt?
I am aware of some studies that have been performed on hematrace testing after LCV that suggests that there is a possible interaction with the LCV and the hematrace test, and it is possible for there to be amounts of hemoglobin that would not be detected by the test that would give a negative result, but the results of my testing were negative.
And as we've discussed, testing for blood and testing for DNA is different.
Yes.
All right. You also tested the defendant's pants?
Yes.
Did you test those in a similar manner to the way you would test the cuttings from the shirt?
Do you mean for DNA?
Yes.
Yes.
That would be State's Exhibit 418. The defendant's pants and the cuttings items 460 and 461. Your items 20.2. Sorry.
Sorry, wrong report.
So I guess as briefly as we can, let's discuss some of the results from the cuttings from those pants. Item 20.2 is a cutting from the front left interior pocket of the defendant's pants. Were any individuals included?
So for item 20.2, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. This was one where I calculated his likelihood ratio to see if I could condition on him as a contributor. So the result of that comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 140 quadrillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And so then for the comparisons to the other individuals, Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture, and the scenarios are Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the person being compared, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture versus Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 5.1 sextillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 25 quintillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Paul Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And for the comparison of all those individuals together, the DNA profile is approximately 2 quintillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and Paul Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
The next cutting is item 20.3, a cutting from stain A on the defendant's pants.
For 20.3, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 94 septillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
All right, 20.4, cutting from stain G from the defendant's pants. If you could tell us if any individuals were included in that analysis.
For 20.4, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 24 sextillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
Was that the only comparison for that item?
That was the only
inclusion?
Yes, for that item.
Let's move to the next one. I think that would be 20.5, a cutting from stain C from the defendant's pants. If you could please tell us if any individuals were included.
For 20.5, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 4.1 septillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Paul Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
And I think we have three left. Item 20.6, a cutting from stain D from the defendant's pants.
The DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. This was one where I was not able to assume Richard Alexander Murdaugh as a contributor, so I'm making the comparisons to each person individually.
And you can't assume him, why?
When making that comparison, it seems that his DNA may be present, but at a low level, so I cannot assume him as a contributor. So I would run his likelihood ratio to see if I could condition, but in this case it was not high enough to meet our threshold to condition, so I'm just comparing him to the profile like every other individual.
Okay.
For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 930 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual, the DNA profile is approximately 930 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 38 quintillion times more likely if Paul Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 190 times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then we're calculating the statistic for all of those individuals together. The DNA profile is approximately 8.7 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh, Paul Murdaugh, and Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And there is that same statement about putting more weight on the individual likelihood ratio for Richard Alexander Murdaugh when considering him as a contributor rather than the combined.
Item 20.7, hopefully that should be an easy one.
For 20.7, a DNA profile was developed. Due to the inability to determine the number of contributors, no further interpretation will be offered.
And then lastly, item 20.8, a cutting from stain F of defendant's pants.
For 20.8, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. I calculated the likelihood ratio for Richard Alexander Murdaugh to see if it met our threshold to condition on him as a contributor. The result for his comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 320 million times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then we're making comparisons to the other individuals. I'm including him as a contributor. So Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 2.6 sextillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 17 quintillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Paul Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then once again, we're calculating the likelihood ratio of all of those individuals contributing to the mixture together. The DNA profile is approximately 93 quadrilion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and Paul Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
All right. Now, as far as the shorts or defendant's pants go, did you do any confirmatory testing on those with hematrace?
No, I did not.
Exhibit 419 is the defendant's shoes, which is item 21. And exhibit 460, I believe it's up here in some of this.
Exhibit
460.
Okay.
Can you tell us what is contained, if a cutting from the left shoelace of the defendant's shoes is contained in that exhibit?
Yes, 21.2 is part of this container.
And did you analyze the cutting from that shoelace?
Yes.
Okay. And were any individuals included in your results there?
The DNA profile was interpreted as single source for the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh. The result is the DNA profile is approximately 410 septillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed the profile than if an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
And did you also get some swabs from a raincoat?
Yes, I did.
That would be case exhibit 462. Two swabs from a blue raincoat. Your items 173.2 and 173.3?
Yes.
Okay. And you analyzed those items?
Yes, I did.
Item 173.2 from the raincoat appears to be swabs from the interior cuffs, collar, hood, and interior zipper areas and zipper pull of the blue raincoat. Could you tell us the results of your analysis of that item?
No. Swab? Sorry. No DNA profile was developed.
And then item 173.3. Swabs from the side opening, zipper area, and both interior portions of exterior pocket of blue raincoat.
A partial DNA profile was developed due to the limited information obtained and the inability to determine the number of contributors. No further interpretation will be offered.
Okay, Agent Zapata, thank you so much for going through all that with us. We have no further questions for you at this time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll break for lunch now and resume at 2:30.
Remain in order.
That wraps up segment number two of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. There is much more to come today. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. Tony Bruschi, stay with us.